for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, do not change. That you, Lord, do bless us. Even, Lord, when we are unfaithful to you. But, Lord, you do have a larger blessing for us when we are faithful. Lord, help us to know more about this. Lord, I pray for your anointing upon me as I preach your word. Might I speak your word in truth and in power? And might your people here be encouraged and blessed. Might your name be lifted up. And you, Lord, glorified. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Some basic things about tithing. First off, tithe literally means a tenth. Doesn't mean three-tenths, doesn't mean three-fifths, doesn't mean seven-eighths. It means one-tenth. That means if you have a dollar, a tithe is 10 cents. And most of us say, would you give me 10 cents? Most of us don't have a problem with that. If we had $10, could you loan me a dollar? Could you give me a dollar? Again, most of us, not a problem. $100. I've got $100. Somebody needs $10. Yeah, I can give you $10. Got $1,000. How come somebody comes up and says, I need $100? I go, whoa, now you're starting to talk about some money here. How about $5? Or $50 even. But $100? Well, that's getting a bit much. I have $10,000. A tenth would be $1,000. I came and asked you for $1,000. You'd look at me and say, I just want a tenth of what you got. You'd say, I don't think so. You got $1,000,000. All they want is this tenth. Give me $100,000. See, this is where the flesh starts getting involved. You see, when I asked for a tenth, when it was $1 and it's a dime, even though you only had a dollar, I said, okay. But what we forget are two important items here. First off, who's asking us for that tenth? And second off, where are we taking that tenth from? Okay, who's asking us for the tenth? God. See, I'm not asking you for a tenth. It's not, I have no right to do that. God does. Why? Well, look around you. If you see something, he made it. Say, well, no, a factory made those chairs and members of the church built this. You know, who provided the gifts and talents of the people who did those things? God. God is the one who created them in their mother's womb. God is the one who literally created creation. It's called creation because it was created. God is the creator. So it's the creator. One who made it all. And what he's asking for is for us to give him a small portion of his property, which he has put into our temporary custody and care, our stewardship, for a short time. How many of you plan to live to be 200 years old? Plan on it. I wouldn't expect you to manage it, though. The fact of the matter is, you know, one out of one people die. This life here on the earth is temporary. It's not forever. But we are made eternal beings. We are indeed people who have eternal souls. So we do face an eternity. But only a short time is here on this earth. But it's here on this earth that determines where we're going to spend our eternity. Are we going to spend it in God's presence or separated from Him? One place is called heaven, the other place is called hell. So, this is our quandary. We've been asked to give up something which isn't really ours, but which we have taken personal possession of. See, I say, that's my wallet. How many here would argue with me about that? Most of you would say, I don't want that wallet. First off, it looks kind of ratty. Second off, there isn't really anything in it. I got quality control number 21 from an inspection. So I got a 10 cents off coupon here for Cub, from Cub for gas at Holiday. You know, they're just, cash isn't there. I got two debit cards. And there isn't much in the accounts that they're attached to. But I say they're mine, and you all go, yeah. But the fact matters, no, it's not mine. That's not mine. This isn't mine. This isn't mine. It's all God's. And we forget that. Now, what we're seeing in 2 Chronicles is the people of Israel rediscovering the fact that they're God's people. See, they've gone back and Hezekiah's rediscovered the scriptures, and they've read it, and they've gone, and they've started worshiping according to the way God has directed them to. And they've torn down the high places and removed the rest of the idols from their lives. And in their excitement to worship God, they have now made a new connection with Him, and they are now experiencing the blessings that come from that. And at this point, Hezekiah commands that you need to take care of the priests like God has commanded you to do. Bring what God has commanded into His storehouse. And what we see happens is the people bring it in and they've got heaps left over because everybody brought in the full tithe. That full tenth. They brought it in. And they brought it in generously, graciously, eagerly, thankfully, and obediently. Now, they started from that position of thankfulness to God in their giving. But they had to be obedient too. Yeah, I'm thankful to God. Well, what does God tell me I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to do this. Okay, I'm going to go do it now. It's not enough to be just thankful and grateful to God. We also have to be obedient in doing what He says. He tells us not to worship like the other people, but to do it the way I've told you to do it. And He said, bring this to my storehouse, the church. In this case, it used to be the temple. Now, today it's the church. And see if I won't bless you. Here in 2 Chronicles, we see the blessing. In Malachi, we see God speaking to people who have lost that ardor for God. The love became cold. They lost their way. They weren't passionate about serving God anymore, and they stopped giving. And because of this, God was hurt, right? No. It didn't hurt God. It ended up hurting the people. Ever since the time of your forefathers turned away from my decrees, you've not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. See, they lost the presence of God from among them because they weren't following him. And one of the ways they weren't following him was in the tithe. Now, why do I keep harping about tithe? Well, one, we're talking about stewardship. We're talking about it this week. And the Bible talks about money. Why? Because we have an obsession with it. We keep trying to claim that which to be ours, which isn't ours. We keep wanting to acquire other people's stuff. That's why we got a lot of that in the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. Don't be coveting your neighbor's stuff. You know, why is that in there? Because what do? We look at it, we say, oh, I want that. We haven't learned joy in what we have. See, joy is satisfaction with the state we're in. Just being, I'm satisfied with what God has given me. That's joy. It's not happy, happy, happy. We get those two confused. But here we see in Malachi, God has told them, you're robbing me, so I've pulled back my blessings. But stop robbing me and see if I don't bless you. Test me in this. This spot here is one of the few places where God says, test me. Normally, the normal wisdom in God's words is, don't test the Lord thy God. But here God stands up and says, test me on this one. Go ahead. What does he mean by test me? He says, bring in the full tithe and see if I don't bless you. It's a challenge. Who here likes a challenge? Some of us, I mean, all you got to do is say, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, I think that's too hard for you. I can do it. But it's also a promise. God's saying, if you do this, look what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you. Now, how many of you here grew up on a farm or have anything had anything to do in your life with farming? A few of you? Okay. You're probably very familiar with the fact that all the crops don't make it from the field to market. All the crops don't even make it out of the field. And every step along the way from planting the seed, even as they're planting the seed, what happens? Are there birds and animals that come along behind and eat some of it? And then as your crop is growing up, you got other animals that come in and chomp. There goes that stalk of grain. Chomp. There goes that little bit of corn. Little, only this big right now. Would have grown up to give me, you know, I don't know how much corn you get off one stalk, but you get a whole lot more off of one stalk of corn than you do off of no stalk of corn. And the deer are eating it when it's this tall. It never gets big. And it's wastage. And then when you go to harvest, well, people drop stuff. You don't always get it all. Why? You're tired. You missed a little bit. You don't go back for it. Now we've got machinery that does it, and we get more and more and more of it. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of it then also goes to waste through spoilage. Get a little mold in there. It's too wet. It wasn't dry enough when we harvested it. And you know that's why farmers will have these big corn dryers to dry up the corn. Why? So it doesn't spoil. Now what God is telling us here is, you know, all that loss that you have due to these little wastages, this little spoiling here and there, all this stuff. You know, you're used to planting this much and getting this much, and you lose all this through waste, through spoilage, through theft, through whatever. But you're only getting this much of it when there's actually, it's the waste plus that together that's the total crop that's produced. But you're not getting the benefit of the whole thing. And God says, I'm going to give you the whole thing. See, that wastage, God says He's going to take care of it. He's going to remove it, and that'll be a blessing, and it's going to bless you more than you ever thought. This is how this works. I tithe. I can pay my bills. I don't tithe. I don't seem to manage that, make my bills that month. Somehow or other, I end up with more months than I have money. This is my life. This is the life I experience. Okay, if I don't tithe, I tell you right now, I have more months than I have money. But when I tithe, you know what? I actually have a little left over. I got extra. Now, I got the same amount of money coming in. I got the same amount of bills going out. Except that when I add the tithe to my bills, the money at the end of the month seems to be more. How does that work? God removes the wastage. Don't tell me how He does it. How do you get the deer to eat the crop yet leave the crop? I don't know, but it happens when we actually do what it is God wants us to do. And this is what He's promising us. And He says, test me on this. Now, I've made this promise before, or this challenge before, but I'll make it again. The treasurer each year has always hated it, but here it is. Try it. Tithe. God says, test me on this. I believe God. I believe if you test Him in this, He'll stand by His word. Now, I'm not telling you if you tithe that God's going to send you more money. I'm telling you He's going to make your money go farther. He might give you more money. I don't know how He's going to do it. But I do know He will bless you, and you will notice that blessing. So if you tithe, we keep track of the tithing records of the giving. You know why? Because we have to give you a receipt at the end of the year, which just went in the box today, so that you can give your statement to the government when you file your taxes. That's why we keep track of it. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep track of who gives what. We would just keep track of the total that comes in. But the government requires that we do this for your benefit. So we're already keeping track of what you're giving. You give 3-4 months. If at the end of those 3-4 months, God hasn't blessed you and you've tithed, not given 5%, not given 8.5%, but you have given 10% of what you produce. Now, we today produce paychecks by going to work. That's how we get paid. Most of us don't raise crops and sheep and things like that anymore. You get your paycheck, you put 10%, you come at the end of 3-4 months, and God has not blessed you, come back and ask for your tithe back. We will give it back to you. I believe God when He says, test me in this. Test Him. See, the purpose of the tithe is to help us to remember where it came from. See, if every time I produce something, I'm giving back the first portion back to God, it keeps reminding me, God's first. God's first. God's first. God needs to be first in my life. When does this break down? It breaks down when I stop doing what I said I would do. When I stop doing what it is that the Lord has told me to do. I forget to tithe. I stopped doing it. I didn't have time. I forgot. Didn't have a checkbook with me. I just didn't. All of a sudden, I find that all of a sudden I'm having money problems. And I go, hold it. Did I forget to tithe? And when that happens, I go, oh, dummy. This is inner dialogue here. Oh, dummy, why did you do this? You know better. And I get the tithe in. I don't worry about the past due tithe. God forgives me. I've already paid my penalty, if you would. Because he removed some of his blessing. Why? Because I was being disobedient. Just like when my children disobeyed, I'd say, well, guess what? You lose this privilege. Oh, you're not disobeying anymore. Here's your privilege back. That's the way it works. And the money comes in. The food comes in. The gifts come in. Whatever it is comes into the temple here in Malachi. The floodgates go in, or the stuff goes in, the floodgates are open in heaven, and he pours out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit. And all the nations will call you blessed. Quite frankly, there's no better blessing than God's blessing. Now, does this mean that God will not bless you at all if you don't tithe? There are blessings which God gives us, but there is more blessing available to us. Do you want the full blessing? Do you want the partial blessing? I want all I can get. God doesn't need our money. Because quite frankly, we don't have any. It's His. And He just wants us to remember that fact by keeping Him first. Because otherwise it gets to be a real problem when God says, I need you to give me a tenth of that $1 million I gave you last week. But that's mine. No, it's not. You give me that, trust me, I'll bless you more, you'll do fine. And you will. You'll do just fine. God will bless you. God does bless you when we're obedient. He blesses you, blesses me. Now, what is the tithe? I keep saying that. It's 10% of what we make. And we're to give it to God, no strings attached. So we go to that place where we go for worship. It's not the free will offering. That's above and beyond. That's something else. We talked about that last week. But this is remembering that I'm just God's stewards and I'm putting His resources in the places He wants me to. And by putting this first tenth into this box, what it does is it reminds me that God is the one who's in charge, that all the blessings I have came from Him. Well, I know that all the blessings have come from Him. And I recognize that. Then I can be true. I want one more verse here. I wasn't going to share this one, but I'm going to go do it anyways. If you want to Andy, who's ever there, Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Let's go there. I just want to read a few words of Jesus here. It says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all their kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." Okay. So, giving the tithe doesn't absolve us of everything else God has told us to do. It's an all-inclusive thing. We're not to do one and forget the other. We're supposed to do all of these things. Be loving and merciful and gracious towards one another. And also loving, merciful, and gracious towards God. And when we act that way, He promises to bless us. Twenty years ago, I shattered my leg in a motorcycle accident. At the time that I shattered my leg, Donna had been out of work for 6 months because of an automobile accident. Both of us are out of work. Our total income was $800 a month. That came from the insurance benefit from Donna's auto accident. Our fixed bills was $1,600 a month. One half of what we... Actually, twice what we brought in. I didn't say I can't afford to tithe. What I said was, I can't afford not to tithe. So I did. We got the check. First thing we did is we wrote a check to the church for $80. I was out of work for a year. Donna was out of work for a year. There were 6 months there where we lived off $600 or $800 a month. And we made it. God provided for us. Did we get late on bills? Yeah. Did we have were there some difficulties? Yeah. But we also had, I remember that summer is probably one of the, probably a summer of one of the largest blessings I ever had. We leaned totally on God for our support. We had more food in the house than we knew what to do with. Now, did the food get low? Yeah. But then all of a sudden, boom, we had tons. Didn't know what to do with. We were actually giving food away. Had people show up and give us some from family, some from people we never knew. I received checks in the mail from people I had never met before. They had heard about me from somebody else who knew me. They knew someone who knew someone who knew me. What's that about? That was God taking care of me and my family. And He blessed us. Did we have an overabundance of money during that period of time? Absolutely not. Were we blessed beyond counting? Beyond counting. That blessing is available to each and every one of us. That's what God wants for us. He wants for us to be close to Him. So don't let money get in the way. And the way we do that is by giving God the first part. Not because God needs the money, but because the money gets between us and Him. The things get between us and Him. And there's supposed to be nothing between us and Him. Because anything that's between us and God is an idol. That's why they're torn down. And then we see the real worship. Let's pray. Father God, help us to each identify the idols in our lives that we might tear them down, those things that are between us and you. Lord, help us to truly trust in you and your word. Lord, you say, test me in this, might we test you. You say, trust me, might we trust you. Lord, we know you are faithful. Lord, you created us, and then you purchased us on the cross, and then you give us freedom and give us the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, how can we then, in any good conscience, try to hold anything back from you? But yet, at times we do. Help us not to fall into that trap. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, that we might have hearts that are open and generous and loving towards you and towards one another. Lord, give us the strength to be humble before you and to trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we're singing Spirit of the Living God.